Cow Brains by Jim Minnick. The worst thing I ever ate was cow brains. My grandparents and uncle had just butchered, and my grandmother liked the brains battered and fried with eggs. They smelled good. Maybe it was the eggs and onions, and they looked like very thick pancakes. So I decided to try one. The breading fell off as Grandma served my plate, and suddenly there were the squiggles, those gelatinous gray-white folds that just a day ago had thought grassy, sunshiny thoughts. A red and white checkered oilcloth covered the white kitchen table. Bowls of green beans and potatoes and corn covered the oilcloth. Grandpa, with his bald head, sat at one end, his coffee can spitting at his feet. Uncle Harry, with his curly dark hair, sat at the other. Grandma and I sat beside each other with the round-faced pendulum clock staring down at us. This was the same table where Grandma taught me to play solitaire, where Grandpa sat to knife open his mail and pay his bills, where in the evenings all four of us played pinochle, Grandma coaching me on which cards to play. I imagine at one point in our human history, we thought eating brains would make us smarter, just like eating asparagus, bananas, honey, and oysters helps our sex lives. Grandma had arthritic knees, so she hitched from side to side when she walked. If the weather worsened her pain, she shuffled her feet. She wore silver-rimmed glasses and loved to quilt even with her swollen, stiff-jointed fingers. Sometimes I'd thread several needles so she could quilt all afternoon without getting frustrated. Uncle Harry, Grandma, and Grandpa already chewed their first bites, so I picked up my fork. During milking, Grandma and I fed the cows. We took turns trundling the two-wheeled cart or scooping the molasses-sweetened grain. Usually, she pushed the wagon and read from the chart. Uncle Harry determined how much feed each cow received based on how much milk she gave, and so, as we moved to the next cow, I'd say her name, Star or Molly or Betty, and Grandma checked the chart to tell me how many scoops. Uncle Harry worked on the other end of each cow, squatting to each udder to put on and take off the milkers. The pump pulsed a steady thump-thump, punctuated by the chittering of barn swallows that hovered over our heads and fed their nestlings. All the while, the hungry cows waited for us, sniffing the grain in big huffs and then licking and chewing with eyes half closed. In these moments, we liked to scratch their black and white foreheads. In the next barn, Grandma and I fed the heifers and steers. The last ones didn't get named, the last ones we ate. Unlike most cows today, our cows had plenty of sun and fresh grass. After every morning milking, unless it snowed, they'd go to pasture, and most afternoons I brought them in, calling sook, 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 hiking the half mile out to the shady spot where they gathered, tapping their backs with the long stick, waiting as they ponderously rose, gentling them into movement toward the barn, avoiding their trails of shit and fly-flicking tails, making sure the steers didn't turn and run, and plodding with the slowest, oldest cow in the rear. One of the pastures was also the village's favorite sledding hill. It sloped steeply and at the hinge. Where hill met meadow, we often built ramps to carry us airborne for brief moments of yelling joy. But I was a cautious child. I always waited until others had gone down and tested the ramp before I hiked to the top and took my turn. I was also not a very adventurous eater. So why did I say yes to cow brains? Today, I have access to deer brains every fall when I hunt, but they fail to appeal, in large part because of the fear of chronic wasting disease, the deer version of mad cow. The fork sliced off a bite, no knife needed. The jelly-like mass held together as the tines poked through. The fork and bite travel from plate to mouth. What determines if something is the worst or best? Appearance and taste predicted by culture and family, memory and story, all determined by love or its absence. I chewed but didn't really need to. I tasted egg and onion and breading, but the brains? I can't remember, or more likely, they had little flavor, just that slippery, soft texture. And now, 4 decades later, years of telling others that this was the worst food I'd ever eaten, I'm left wondering if in fact it was the opposite. Grown at home and butchered with care and served with love, I wish I had cleaned my plate.